The Press Box is here to catch you up on the latest media stories. Hosted by Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker, these guys have the insight on the biggest stories you care about. Check out The Press Box on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go!
It's Halloween! It's Halloween!
Hi everyone, welcome to Righty's House. Hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk about Erling Haaland after his hat trick against Crystal Palace, Scott Parker being sacked by Bournemouth, and some concerns about Aston Villa and Leicester. And my guests are Mayowa Quadri and Flo Lloyd Hughes. What's happening, Mayowa?
No, I'm good, man. Righty House Junior's back in the house.
We miss you, man. How's it going?
It's been good. It's been good. It feels like, you know, when the season starts, and it's like, you know, you just have to bide your time a little bit, you know. Fixtures are going well. It's just like, you know, man just says, listen, important fixtures running coming up. Just stay fit. You'll be in the squad. So, yeah, you know, got the message, you know.
I'm hearing that you never done carny. You was doing something else.
No, I was at Kidzania.
Some would say the carnival equivalent of the children's world. You know?
Exactly.
It's a Zania.
Yeah. It's insane. Like, you walk in and then there's like a big aeroplane. It's like, oh, let's check you in. And I was like, excuse me, where am I going?
To where?
But it was really good fun. I did see some of Carnival passing through.
Wow. On the train, what was it like?
On the train, cool?
What was the kid? Were the kids frightened? Was they'd seen a load of people? What was
they
it
were
like?
Asleep. They actually managed to sleep through all of it, which was really funny. Yeah, really funny. They slept through all of it. But it was it's good to see people happy, man. I mean, the last time Carnival was on was pre-pandemic. Yeah. Just see people out happy was really
it was a vibe, to be honest. It was really
You had that vantage point, didn't you?
Unbelievable vantage point. You know, the thing is, when I go in and you walk along, because I kind of had my mask on, and I thought, nah, man, I'm not going to do that, man. I'm just going to walk with my people. Kind of got intense quick, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I had to put the mask back on. And then once you got up there, then you realize I would not be able to be amongst that much. Yeah, it's not for any reason, like, because people recognize you, but it was too much. There was too many.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it was the mass. It kind of frightened me a bit.
I didn't go this year because I thought I was too old. But then I did get massive FOMO yesterday because all my friends went yesterday and the Instagram stories were flying in. And then I drove past it on the Westway and it looked so good. Oh, like, it was, you know, when everyone slows down for a crash and it like bottlenecks, everyone was slowing down like, whoa. Yeah. And it looked so good. But all I can think about is, I don't know where I'm going to go to the toilet, and that just stresses me out.
Well,
like, where can I pee is at the forefront of my mind. But all my friends managed to work it out. But the last time, I remember just being like, oh, I've got to pee again.
Yeah, but that's
now
the thing. You don't want to be right amongst something like that, and then you want to pee. To try and get through a load of people to try and find somewhere to pee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you know it's hard.
You need to,
man,
basically know someone who lives around there. Or like find a friend of a friend of a friend.
It's unfortunate
to, like,
for people who live around it.
Yeah. They make money from it. Like,
yeah,
I see people charging like £10.
Yeah, so you can charge like a quid for the toilet, or like sell Red Stripe out your front garden or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I'm energized. I want to go back now next year.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles, from executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Guys, it's not even no elephant in the room. It's a Tyrannosaurus in the room. We can't. We've got to talk about Erling Haaland, bro.
We can't beat this guy. We can't beat this guy.
I'm not joking. It's such, because I done the match of the day, and I had to do the analysis on him. And so I was watching him all game. And you know, the heat map, what I showed, where I said, when I kind of mentioned to Carolina, that was it. That's, you know what, if I was playing and that was my heat map, I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy. You're looking at somebody, like we saw Cristiano Ronaldo's numbers, Real Madrid, we saw Messi scoring every game. He can easily score. In every game I've seen him play up to this point, he can score in every single game. We're not talking about, oh, that was a chance he should have took. Great chances. Because in the first half, Palace defended very, very well. They were really structured. They had the 4-5-1. And it was very difficult for City to get any kind of space. So when he was trying to make moves in between, they were there. Someone was there, whether it's Anderson, whether it's Gehi, and they were brilliant. And the final balls weren't great. And some of his runs, they just weren't giving it to him. But he kept doing them. He didn't stop doing them. And in the second half, scores a hat-trick. It was so easy. And then the last one was the beauty. The last one was the one where you think, that is where he'll I'll do this. I can do this at any stage. It's not like people saying, oh, he's got to run from here. He needs space to run into. Mm. Where that ball came in, the control, the look over the shoulder, the easing off of the man.
Don't touch me.
The way he was holding Ward like a wrestling move.
Don't touch me.
Against the ropes. Yeah. Unbelievable.
The thing is, before you guys go in, it's just the excitement of him coming and then him actually coming. When's the last time we've had somebody? Ronaldo's come back, but he's like 37. And, you know, it's only Man United that's really excited about him, if I'm going to be totally honest. But everyone, you can't tell me that everyone's not excited about what this 22-year-old guy can do in that team.
It's scary because when you look at a lot of players or strikers recent years that have done amazing things, Lewandowski, Benzema, everyone always says stuff along the lines of the Premier League is the staple. It would have been great to see them in the Premier League. Mbappe, why has he signed that big contract? We say it's great to see in Premier League. Haaland's come over, 6 goals, 4 games. Wow. And it's like his career in England couldn't have got off to a better start, especially when you break it down from the Community Shield. Because I remember looking at how Klopp did the best by his player with Nunes, you know, eased him in, did all of that. Haaland missed the sitters, and they were like, this is England.
Yeah. And there was that conversation about him only having, 8 touches or something in his Premier League debut, and everyone was like, oh, how long is it going to take?
It's going to be like Lukaku, he's not going to settle. And for someone like that, who I call like a contract killer, all he knows, that it's the, and you know better than anyone, right? It's the art form of being a striker. No matter where you're put on God's green earth, you are going to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
He is going to do that. He can play in the Bundesliga, the Premier League, in Tanzania. He would do exactly the same thing.
Anywhere he goes, he's going to feast. Yeah.
He's going to eat. And him not scoring in that game just gave this chip on his shoulder a little bit. Just a little chip on his shoulder.
Say, okay, you know what? Okay, I get it now.
I get it, I get it.
But I mean, it wasn't a case of him getting used to the league. It's his teammates getting used to him. And Pep said that after the game, because he said, you know, Phil has had the opportunities to cross in to Erling and hasn't done it. And now he's learned his lesson. Now, I wouldn't want to learn a lesson from Pep Guardiola, that lesson is.
No, but the thing with it is,
Haaland joked afterwards too, Phil finally crossed to me.
Yeah, but the thing with Phil is that you've got to remember some of the times, because they haven't had that focal point.
They've been conditioned.
Phil is the furthest forward. Yeah. Sometimes you look across, there's no one there.
But they're not traditionally, they haven't been for years, a crossing team. Because they've never really had height in the box. Think about Aguero. You would be crossing into Aguero.
Not even just the crosses. If you think about every iteration of a City team in the Premier League, we had Aguero for a little bit, but it's always been like false nine or KDB, second striker. Yeah. They've not had a focal point that says, listen, if you pass the ball there, I will score. And it's like, I look at the tweets after every single match that KDB is like, oh, it was a pleasure to assist you, Haaland. It was so great to assist you. They've kind of realised, hold on, I don't have to run around anymore. I can just play forward.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember, someone dropped in the group chat saying that John Stones, I think it was Rare, should just keep pinging the ball. All of this tiki-taka stuff.
Was it Rare?
It was route one stuff.
Just go bam.
Just go bam. Because he's going to score. Yeah,
but then he can score the tap-ins too.
Yes.
It's ultimate. It is. We're talking about in the WhatsApp group today. It's Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein football because he's got everything.
He's got everything. You know, I watched him And the thing with the Lukaku, when people say, it's going to be Lukaku, the difference with him, why he's always going to score more and he's not going to be, we shouldn't mention them. You can't mention them in the same breath like that, simply because this guy's movement continually never stops. He always looks like, well, why didn't they give it to him? If he does, and when we saw, unfortunately, when we saw Romelu, there's some of the times you think, come on, man, you're not even making moves. You're not doing, and this guy is constantly making moves. And so we've got a team now in Manchester City, you've got such a monster up front that even if it's not going well, they can do, like we said, they could go bam, go long. They can, you know, they could slip it through to him, or he'll sniff out something in the box, because he's the two goals, even the header and then the one where he's just at the back post. How is he tapping that in? How's Harry Kane? You look at these two unbelievable strikers, how they're finding space. And I said it again last week. People underestimate. Oh, it's Erling Haaland. Oh, he's come over. Oh, he's tapping in from a yard. People don't see that movement. Mm. There were seven Palace players in the box, in and around him. And then you're thinking, if somebody said, yeah, Erling Haaland's going to be here at the back post, unmarked, you say, ridiculous. He literally just like ghosted himself from the front
even
post.
Even though he's what, like 6 foot? He's just slipping in.
He's so elusive. The only thing he didn't have on was Thor gear and a hammer in his hand. Right? He just slipped from the front post and just slowly just went back. It's such a gangster move that everybody thinks, when he goes past me, someone's got him. To the point where he's just gone right to the back. John Stones even miskicked it and he's still in the right place.
But even the header.
That's his thing. He gets to the back post.
Even the movement on the header, he checks his run and that gives him more space. And
the half a yard. Just,
yeah. But
then you've got the quality of the player on the ball. Like you could see it because Phil Foden's ball into that bit of the box was just like, I'm just putting this in there.
But right, what I'm about just putting this in there? Remember the KDB one against Newcastle? The breaking of lines through the legs.
I remember saying it.
It's not human.
Put it through. They're going to find ways of putting the ball in those areas. He's just going to gobble it up because the movements going into the box for that header flow was unbelievable. He went left, right, left. Really subtle. Keep the defender moving because that's what people don't understand. If you make a shoulder move or any kind of movement, the defender has to move. So when he done that, the defender stands in the middle. He then peels out. Then they put a beautiful ball and then bam. A yard, 2 yards out. Honestly, it was beautiful to watch.
You touched on something, right? And for me, it's something that stood out already. So Haaland got his hat-trick. Mm. Next day, Harry Kane got his brace. Mm. And for me, what I'm enjoying already is sometimes when a new king comes to the forecourt, everyone goes, you know what? I need to defend my crown a little bit. Mm. And I saw that little bit of Harry Kane in terms of, you know, I'm breaking records. I'm getting closer to the pinnacle of where I want to be in English football. And this little kid's coming and he's going to score the goals. No, I need to do that. For you, do you feel like having a Haaland in this league is just going to raise the levels of so many strikers? Because when I think about a lot of centre forwards, even if they're not at the top teams, I saw Bamford get 17 Prem goals.
Yeah,
I'm seeing Mitrovic probably going to get through double figures easily. Mm. So a lot of strikers feel like they can get goals, but seeing someone do that, it's like, know what? If I can keep near him, I can do something special.
In and around him. But the same, what I like about, even you look at like Harry's goals again, Harry's right in there. We're going to see Harry coming off and doing his stuff, but Harry knows that there's another guy in the building, bro. There's someone else in the building. Everybody's going to raise their game. What he's got, which I don't think Harry's got, is that pace, bro, to get the ball and break that line, go through, and finish. Yes, Harry will get the ball, takes it and finish clinically, but this guy can run onto it. He'll be in the box. You know what I mean? He himself has said he's got to score more headers. You know, but at the same time, in respects of a striker lifting the bar.
So what's so funny about this Haaland business is there's this report going out that Premier League managers are having Zoom meetings to discuss him
seriously
as a player. And how they stop him and how they've never seen anything like them.
I'm
being so serious. I saw this report.
Operation Haaland.
Yeah, Operation like a covert operation.
It's like X-Men.
Wow. Exactly.
It's like we got to get together.
How do we take him down?
How
do we bring Wolverine back in? But it just made me realize that I've never heard of anything like that before. And have we ever seen a player come into the league and be so scary and so different from anything we've ever seen before?
No. Diego Costa, when he came, I thought,
But he's just a scary man.
He was a scary man, but like, every single game, he was the focal point of the game. I think with Haaland, like I said, 22, I remember Musa, and listening to Musa and Ryan, and they're saying, this guy coming to this league, nothing's going to stop him. Nothing's going to stop him. I feel going to City, if City don't do the Champions League now, then it's never going to happen with him. Because I think that in respect of expectation of somebody coming in, I think he's lived up to it, up to this point, better than anything I've ever seen. You know, even when he missed the goals in the community, I would say, so what? So what? That's nothing. I think that he is, you know, I think that the excitement is somebody who's coming with the big noise and he's delivering the big noise and we're all seeing it. So that's why everybody's excited about him. All fans are excited about him.
Yeah. I think, I don't support a team in the Premier League, so I don't have that fear factor. But as a Chelsea fan, does it also scare you, though? As well as being enamoured by his talent and his ability, are you like, oh, God, I don't want to face him?
What's really weird is you're looking at someone and it's like, you know, the Dragon Ball Z, this isn't my final form.
He's not even formed yet.
He's not even cooking yet.
Yeah.
He's actually not even cooking. Like, it's very low gas. It's just simmering a little bit.
Am I going over the top giving him flowers? I think I've got to give him flowers because
But the thing is, how big is the bouquet going to be? Because it's going to get bigger. What's your budget for this?
I think that, you know what, I'm just
giving him a rose.
Maybe a couple roses.
He's got to get flowers. And I just, you know, the image of him with the flowers makes me feel like, yeah. Yeah, he's got to have flowers. I think that he's so exciting. He's so exciting. You know what I love as well? His interviews. There's a jovial vibe about him. Still, like we say, he's 22 and he's recognized that I'm going to do everything. Mm. I'm going to do everything what people expect me to do in respect of scoring goals and winning stuff, because he's just got the look in his eye and he's got the ability. He's got everything. Somebody said he's a mixture between, I think it was Moose and Ryan. I'm saying strength of Shearer, pace of Henry, like size of Zlatan, touch of Van Nistelrooy, and I'd say Zlatan confidence as well. I think we haven't seen the major confidence blast from him yet, but I think we're going to see it. I don't think he's going to go to the levels of Zlatan's over the top lion bollocks and all that. You know what I mean? But we're talking about somebody who's totally in control of his feelings, his emotions, and his ability and what he's capable of. And that's why I'm going to give him the flowers. And you know what? I genuinely want him to be the monster that he looks like he can be in this league. So, I want him to do that.
Oh, I wish we would have tried to get him. I would have thrown every single pound, penny, dirham, whatever currency it was to get him.
Whatever was required.
Whatever was required, I would have done anything to get him.
City
at Chelsea.
All over it. His
Bitcoin.
Dad,
honestly,
you know the thing with Chelsea?
ETH.
you look at Chelsea and you think to yourself, I think they should have gone all out. I know he's getting to the certain stage of his career. For Lewandowski, they should have done it. I don't know what's happened with Oba. I don't know what's going to happen there. But you look at Chelsea, and I just feel like that they need that. You know that, you know, the Lukaku. I was so disappointed with that. But like, they do need to find that one, and they need to go bam. Here you go, bam.
But,
take that money.
Mario, you've watched a lot of them this season. Obviously, you've been to a couple of games at Stamford Bridge as well. I feel like the fluidity of that front three, though, with Sterling, Havertz and Mount, is still working quite well. And Sterling is slipping in and playing a bit of a central role at times. And then they're kind of moving from 4-3-3 to 4-4-2. And it's not working terribly. Am I crazy to say that it's not going to be the absolute end of the world if they don't get someone by the end of the week?
I think the major issue Chelsea have is this, when Tuchel came in, this era of invincibility defensively that they would never concede has gone.
Mm.
So when you're playing against a team, and before, it's almost like when you're playing against any major team, sometimes you're defeated before you even start. With Chelsea, it wasn't that, oh, we're going to blow you away. It's, you're never going to score past us.
Mm.
So if you eventually score the one goal, you're fine.
Mm.
But now teams know that we can concede and we can't score. So you can have all the possession and be fluid. But I saw it with the Leeds game. As soon as those two chances are missed, yeah, that's fine. Mm. Put two goals past them. They're never scoring three goals. They can't do it. And I feel like sometimes having someone like Haaland, before you even turn up to a stadium on a Saturday, that whole defence is frightened for the whole week. You've got grown men with their families eating dinner, and they're just looking at their plate.
Crying.
And their partners are saying, what's wrong? Why are you dejected? It's like, he's come to town on the weekend.
It's like Drogba. When we knew Drogba was coming to Arsenal next week, we know. Yeah. We're 1-0 down, games next week. We're 1-0 down. He's scoring. Any team who City are going up to play against now, they must be, we're 1-0 down. He's going to score. I believe he can score in every single game
he plays.
Every single game. You know, this is what I'm saying. I've gone on record as saying, I believe he's going to be the first one to break the 5-goal in a game barrier. You know, I know Andy Cole done it. I'm not sure if anyone else done a 5. You know, there's been some 4s, 5s. He can do. Did you see how vexed he was when he got taken off as well?
Yeah. He could beat the Vardy record as well. I mean, City score every game. Oh, he plays every game. He could beat that Vardy record of consecutive games. I think Vardy got double, it was 11, I think he got.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And I don't want to say they play in a similar way, but that Vardy off-the-shoulder movement is what done it for him. It's like, I'll ghost in. So, oh man, he's scary. He's a scary guy, but flowers to him.
Absolute flowers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Bad news for Scott Parker, man.
A real
Scott in a jumper.
It's one of those ones that is surprising but not surprising at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not surprising because of what happened and what he said after the game.
As soon as you hear what he said after the game, you're thinking, like, wow. It's
a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, you can hear him.
But at the same time, it is so soon after that defeat, you think, is it too soon? But they always look like they were going to be out of their depth unless they made some serious signings in the next couple of days, and they've got arguably a worse team than they
came up with.
And that is the issue, really. Like, defensively, it's not even a very good championship team, and they've not got a lot of creativity going forward. So yeah, but in his post-match where he basically said, like, I'm not surprised to see this happen, it was like,
you know, him saying that makes me feel like, you know, he's there, and obviously he's on a daily basis with these guys, and he could see that they're weaker than they were when they came up. They're playing in easily the most ruthless league in the world. He knows his players are short.
Feels like a loaded comment, right? Because it's not
You can imagine him being in the ball, like speaking to the people upstairs, saying, "Listen,
help them."
Yeah, because like for someone to come out and say, "Yeah, we could get 9 again." It's probably that was the one what made them upstairs say he's got to go.
Mm.
I think that might have been it. But like, if they do, we're going to see that come to light. We're going to see that come to light, because if something like that, who's going in there? Who's going to change? Who's going to build the morale? Who's going to bring the players in to stop that? Because I don't think the defense is good enough. They're not good enough. I don't think the goalkeeper, they're not going to. So whoever comes in, they're going to have to try and coach them to try and do it. I can't see it. I can't see where the goals are going to come from. At the same time, you look, I feel sorry for him simply because another young manager, you know, we'll probably just talk about another one in a second, in Steve Gerrard, another young manager who's come in and he's just been fed to the wolves.
Mm.
He has. I wouldn't say that just Steve Gerrard has been, but like, he's been fed to the wolves, I think, Scott Parker, in what he's had to try and do, even with Fulham, and again, now with Bournemouth. I think Fulham, you know, we're seeing Fulham team perform to a really good level under a decent manager in Marco Silva, and, you know, the precedent of Mitrovic and what he's capable of. But you have to put question marks over Scott Parker in that respect. But seeing him with that team that's nowhere near good enough, I feel for him.
It feels like they're just conceding to relegation now. They're like, that's it. Because I know it's not even September, but that it just feels like that is it. Because like Ian said, who is going to come in and have enough time to do something about it when you look at the amount of money that Forest are spending? And yeah, I think they're still going to be in trouble.
That's what I was going to
say. We spoke about it last week. The gap is closing. So if you're not even within that gap,
then it's over.
It's over.
And with Bournemouth, it's one of those things where you look at Bournemouth as a club, and a lot of people say that investment needed to go into the stadium. It's not big enough. It needed to go into the team.
Yes.
I just feel that when you look at the situation they're in, they've probably realised, you know what, we can't turn this around in 3 days. If we're trying to be on Forest level, on Forest to sign 19 players, we can't be anywhere near that. And even when you mentioned Fulham, right, and you look at someone like Mitrovic, who you always thought dominated the Championship, can that translate into Premier League excellence? They've got a few players that, you know, Bobby Reid's played Premier League, he scored goals. They've got like fundamentals to kind of move on from. With Bournemouth, we haven't seen Solanke because he's been injured, but there was always question marks about, is the Championship the right level for you? Because he didn't in Premier League. Kiefer Moore, so he puts so much, but that's not a striker that you can rely on, for me, to kind of save you in the Premier League.
No way.
And then the creative hub behind them, they all try it, but the Premier League needs a certain ilk to feed you.
It's
into
another
goals.
Level. It's a and they rolled they level. Rolled the dice in January in order to get up.
Yeah.
And they risked it all. They risked FFP to get up to the Premier League.
Yep.
They ticked that box, but it didn't feel like there was like a next phase of, right, if we do go up, what are we going to do? Because they are quite a small club, and you can't necessarily do what Forest have done and throw everything and risk even more in order to stay up. Because if Forest don't stay up, it's going to backfire massively. And I think Bournemouth are a bit wary of that and thinking, well, it's probably in our interest to cash in some of this because we've already risked quite a lot by coming up in the first place.
No, but Flo, with Bournemouth, and how long were they here before? They were here for like 5 years, maybe?
Something like that. I can't remember the exact. Yeah.
4 or 5 years. They accrued a lot of money in that time. You know, you look at some of the signings, and
but it's just not in their DNA to do that.
Yeah, but it just seems like, I just feel like the owners and what they're doing, there's not enough ambition to become a stable Premier League club. You know what I mean? The way you look at like how Brentford are, you look at Brentford and you feel like with that manager, with that fan base, with the players that they can bring in.
There was a methodology to it.
Yeah.
Wolves was similar as well. Yeah. People might question it, but there was a methodology towards...
I don't see it. I haven't seen it with Bournemouth at any stage. You know, their stadium still holds 12,000.
Mm.
You know, you just feel like, where's the new training ground structure? Where's the ambition to build a bigger stadium? So as if they do come, they can then, you know what I mean, stay and have a go like that. You just feel like they're coming up, I'm going to take that money and they're going to go again.
But I think you can do that when you have what they had with Eddie Howe, which is a DNA that spread across the whole club from the academy all the way up, a style of play, coaches that have been together for a very long time, and an identity. But then as soon as you get rid of a manager that established that over time, it would be Brentford have more of a transition plan, but it would be a similar situation where you've created a unit that works so well and an identity that works all the way from the B team upwards. Like, you can do that because you know everything is part of a bigger picture and a bigger plan. But as soon as you hit the reset button and get rid of a manager like Eddie Howe or whatever, then you're starting back to square one and you change the DNA, because now their DNA was just about getting up. And they tried it with Jonathan Woodgate and it didn't work. And then they went to Scott Parker and it did work. And they had to spend a lot of money to get there. So they've changed the way that was successful for them.
What is their ultimate plan? Because everybody wants to be in the Premier League. They're here. They've been here for a while. They know what it takes to be here and what it takes to stay here. They've come back and they're doing the same thing. They're not doing, and they're not buying anybody that you think, oh, they're not built, they're not bringing anything through the academy. You think, oh, I see what they're doing. They're gonna bring him in, blood him through, sell him for a load of money, then you know, get more players in the team, you know, regenerate and all that stuff, and then go forward again and then continue to bring someone through or buy someone. What's their recruitment? What's their scouting? So you can say, oh, I see what they're doing. I haven't got a clue what Bournemouth are doing. And it looks to me like they themselves don't know what they're doing. They're gonna go down. I think they're gonna go down. And it's very early to say, but on this showing, guys,
it's scary.
It's very scary for him, especially when you've got an outgoing manager who says this can
happen again.
This can happen again.
It's like he's prophesying it. The key thing they need to do is make sure that their next result they just contain, because as soon as every team's probably licking their lips and thinking, you know,
yeah,
what
you do.
Yeah, that's the game that would pick up form again. They can't be that team. They can't be a derby, essentially.
I think the problem is they didn't let themselves ease back into Championship football, because they have got young players. Fullback Zamora, who was actually on QPR's books, very talented. Yeah, he's 22. Yeah. He's exactly the kind of player that you would sell on for a bit of money in a couple of years' time. What they didn't do is let themselves ease into Championship football again and grow something and then come up and be ready, because then you've given yourself time to build a team that's ready to give them the experience. They've gone up too soon because they wanted to go up and they spent money to go up, but they've come up with a team that is not ready prepared. And then they're not prepared to spend money because they have it's the worst of both worlds, right? If you gave yourself enough time, and Brentford, they nearly got there and wanted to get there earlier, but think about how many years they had grinding and developing a team that was ready for that moment, and you can't fake that. You can't express that, and teams that have, including QPR, it doesn't work out well. Fulham, when they, you know, tried to spend all the money, it doesn't work. Yeah. So I think they're going to learn the lesson the hard way. And I think the fans probably know that too, because they looked at what they achieved with Eddie Howe and knew that the time was right. Yeah. They came all the way up all those divisions to get there. It was progress. It was a master plan.
I think Fulham have got a plan now as well, haven't they?
I think Fulham have learned a lot of lessons. Mm. I still think their defence, for me, is still too weak. I think they still need more ammo there, but I think Mitrovic is just such a beast that I think he's gonna,
it's finally clicked for him.
Yeah,
I couldn't understand what Scott Parker was doing trying to get Mitrovic to do all this running pressing around the place when you should be playing to him, like he saw him. I thought he was good against Arsenal the other day. He caused a lot of problems and then he kind of got his goal. But when you look at the way Fulham have attacked this Premier League with the players that they've got, you do feel like a Brentford vibe about them. Okay.
Well, also, I think though I still think their defence is a little bit weak, I respect the fact that they've come up and gone for consistency. They haven't.
A lot of hard work going on.
Yeah,
as well.
And they've added Leno to an established unit that have, majority of them, been playing together for a fairly long time now. And I think that helps. I think what would worry me about what Forest have done is, although they've bought some talented players, they've bought some defensively some players from the top end of the Championship and a couple that have played together before, you are dropping them all in together and hoping like that's going to work. That is a risky thing to do.
We've got to say, we got it for Scott, you know what I mean? But there's other people we've got worries about. We have to say
Leicester. We're talking about
can we say Villa, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Villa before Leicester, because I saw a bit.
You think Villa before Leicester? I think Leicester. I think Leicester in worse shape than Villa.
The way they play. I know they play. There was some. Yeah, but I saw signs against Chelsea, even though Chelsea went down to 10 men. I saw signs against Chelsea where, yeah, they can. They can.
Yeah, but
get
that, I think that's
down.
The problem.
It's a false image.
There's always signs.
Yeah.
I am more hopeful of Villa turning a corner than I am of Leicester, because I think with Leicester, it's always nearly, but it's never enough. And that's the problem. I think Rodgers can kind of hide behind that. And I'm not saying that he needs to go, but something has got to give within this situation that they've got going on, because the fans at Leicester are really tired now. They are really tired. They keep conceding goals in exactly the same way.
Yeah, but nothing changes.
My hot take is that because Rodgers is from the managerial school and family of Jose Mourinho, he is doing the Jose Mourinho. It's that typical sort of, I can't push this more forward than I can. My players, my captain's left because there's been falling outs within the club. My star man can't leave because of anything. I'm not bringing anyone in. I'm frustrated with the board. I'm waiting to be pushed. I'll find another job.
What are you saying? He's trying to get himself sacked?
Not sacked, but it's like he's plateaued there. He knows that. And for me, it was like, you saw the signs of it. I remember there was a point where I was saying that Leicester have done something where they can be in a position where they can almost say that they are, in Premier League terms, better than Arsenal. But they didn't move any forward. They got a new training ground. They didn't move forward post that point. Vardy's how old? 35. Kelechi still can't get into the team. Harvey Barnes was injured, comes back, looks bright. Madison looks bright. But a lot of that
He's injured again. Yeah. He might play against United. But
it's like, they've just reached this point where the players look frustrated. Everyone wants to leave. Yeah. Fofana was dancing in his car because he's leaving. Yeah. Tillemans is still probably going to try and push for a move. It's falling apart.
You can't tell me that someone like Madison as well is thinking, yeah, I'm going to stay to get us through this. Man's looking to.
But the signs were there last year. Exactly. The signs were there like a year, 18 months ago. And I thought Rodgers was going to go because something had to give. And I thought he was going to go first. They didn't pull the plug. And then here we are still. The same issues, the same situation, and even more players have left now. Important characters as well,
and players want to leave. That's the thing.
They don't want to stay.
There's players who want to leave. I don't know how it's going to pan out for them.
Whereas I think that's the difference, because I think Steven Gerrard still has his players. He may have lost some of the fans at the weekend who did boo, but I think Villa. I think a lot of those Villa players are still with him, and I think Rodgers. Rodgers can't say the same.
I think a lot of those players are waiting for them to put a plug on him as well.
You think with Gerrard?
But when you read between. When you read between the lines a bit, you kind of feel like maybe man management and, you know, is something that they're not happy with, some of the lads.
With the Ollie Watkins stuff, yeah. The Ming stuff.
But I think with him, that there are enough talented players there. He just hasn't worked out how to use them. And I think with Leicester, I think the issue is more that he actually doesn't have enough quality there to sustain what the grand plan is with that club and push on.
The Villa fans, though, the Villa fans... When you read some of the comments, they can't see the light. They can't see how it's going to be turned around. The tactics they're saying is in-game management, the substitutions. You know, people like, you know, like I read Leon Bailey's dad saying, you know, Leon Bailey, you know, somebody who was young player of the year and, you know, played. Like, I think Ajax are sniffing around him.
Yeah.
Maybe now, obviously, you know, with Anthony going to Man United. So you got, you know, they're sniffing around Leon Bailey, who is.
Special.
Unbelievable player. Now, Villa are not playing with wingers. So you think to yourself, well, how is he
going to fit into
that's what I mean. If Gerrard wakes up from his sleeping beauty crisis,
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think he can turn it around because he's got the players there. He just needs to work out the best system for them. Whereas Rodgers, they haven't signed anyone. Like, Gerrard has had a decent-ish summer and he's already got good talent within that squad.
Yeah, but when you look at 24 games, 5 wins, 7 draws, 12 losses, and like I say, the fans are looking at Stevie. And I feel for him because he's another one you want to do. I want Frank to do. I want the young managers to do well, Scott Parker. And it feels like when they're going through their phases where it's not going well, the noise, like Villa's fan base are not happy.
We talked
but
about
right,
it yesterday.
Is it a phase though? That's the thing. That's another thing. Because there's phases and then is this the true image of what we're actually seeing?
Of what you mean? Of the managers?
Yeah. And in terms of Villa, a lot of the Villa fans are probably thinking, well, it's not, if we're losing more than we're, any other fixtures, maybe it's a phase, but I genuinely feel that a lot of Villa fans probably look at their squad, the money that they spent, they're not bad players. Ultimately, we have to have a return on investment, we have to do well. They're probably thinking, and this is my hot take, where's Pochettino? What does Pochettino do with Bendia and Coutinho? Does that look completely different to what we're seeing now? Because the massive thing that a lot of people would say is that Gerrard is not utilising his best pieces. Bendia's been really good, but you would just feel that it's been a mess signing because you don't see enough of him. Coutinho's popped in here and there. Watkins looks great sometimes. I remember when they were doing the whole dynamic with him and Ings and then it was working, it wasn't working. It's because there's just so much chop and change, but no actual plan
to do
something.
That's the thing, we were talking about this yesterday. It's the panic. It's the panic of not knowing what your best team is or the best style of play. So you keep changing it. 5 different centre-back partnerships now this season already. You drop Tyron Mings and then you actually ask for him to come back because you've got long-term injuries. But I do still think if he can get, maybe it's getting the right backroom staff, because I know you were talking about him losing Mick Beale to QPR and the impact that's had. Perhaps he needs more support you know, in his backroom staff and behind the scenes in order to equip him with the right tools and experience, because he is still so inexperienced. But I believe in him seeing the light more than Rodgers, because Rodgers is so stubborn. He's already saying after every match, exactly, he's saying, I need more bravery from my players. I mean, it's not bravery that will solve these problems where you keep conceding goals from set pieces. You don't need bravery. You just need a good coaching and good defensive
structure.
They
need to sort that defence out.
Whereas I think Villa, I think Gerrard can do it. I think he can. He just needs help. He's there desperate. He's like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Like, help me, please. Someone give me a boat. The man needs a raft.
On the flip of what you're saying, that is true. I just feel like if Leicester get a new manager in, their squad's tired. It doesn't change. If Villa get a new manager in, there's so much
And there's
upside.
Not enough time in the window for Leicester to get enough players to re-energise the squad.
No. You know, because you've seen, like I said, I was very excited about someone like Liam Bailey. We know what John McGinn's capable of. Matty Cash. You know, we talk like players like Buendia. You know, Stevie signing Coutinho was always, for me, that's a massive, massive chance. A lot of money on a player that, you know, he's come from Barcelona with his kind of like his confidence shot. I can't even remember how many assists he's had since he's been there. Not many. You know, how many goals has he scored?
He started off really well and then it just went away. But
it's just fallen
on the flip
off,
side. Like, Buendia's got more goal contributions than Grealish. Since he went there, but you just don't see enough of him.
You know, I think the same with Ollie Watkins. You know, if you're going to have players like Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings in it, then you're going to need people breaking out to the wing, getting the ball in the box. So these are the things that I think that the Villa fans are more upset with. Everything's kind of down the middle and people are just crowding them out, winning the ball, bam, scoring. And then, you know, the confidence, you could see the confidence. Villa, they're losing confidence. The fans are now involved. They're on their backs. They're on the manager's back. I don't know how much patience the fans have got left.
I do think, though, with Gerrard is you can look to how energised and excited they were and how different they looked when he first came in. Whereas with Rodgers, the issue has been so long now. They are so exhausted by him. It's been, over a year now of the same situation and frustrations. Whereas with Gerrard, he's so new and there was such a refreshing air and aura to him when he first came in that I feel like you can get that back again. I feel like you can get that back. Yeah. It's just the characters. If he loses those big characters and he has already kind of lost Tyrone Mings, then you are done a little bit.
We'll see how it goes. Those two teams,
the way it started. And if it's going to carry on like this before we wrap this, let's just go and get Tielemans, man. I know it's kind of selfish.
Go and rescue.
Yeah, let's just leave that there. So, guys, listen, it's time to bounce. So, Mayo, it's great to see you, bro.
Good to see you too, bro.
And you, Flo.
Good to see you.
Flo, did you enjoy the golf?
Yeah, it was tiring. Yeah. I'm sore today. Nice. It's golf is hard.
Golf ain't no joke.
It's not a joke.
No, I thought you was very patient with it, though.
Thank you. That's all. My main goal was to keep my head down and not lose the plot. So I'm glad I was patient.
Lessons. Sound like Gerrard.
Some people in the room were throwing their clubs, but I won't say who that was.
I know. We've got to get hold of Ryan with that club, Brian. Okay, take it easy, man. Let's bounce, man. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much, Mayowa Quadri. Thank you very much, Flo Lloyd Hughes. Thanks for listening, guys. What can I say? Next week, we go again. That's what we do. The grind don't stop. But look forward to seeing you again next week, guys. Take it easy.